but everything's fine.
Amen.
Everything's fine.
Yes.
Oh, he's got such a drive about him. Push. And I wish he's up here where he's sitting under this word. You know, he's using the word on about everything he says. You know, he's not letting hospice take over. Mm-hmm. He says he's going to let God do what he needs to do. And I got a text yesterday, but I didn't see it until today. First time I'd heard from him in 4 years. 4 years. But, you know, I just prayed. I never give up. And, you know, I've asked you first to pray for him. And it's been God all the way. He is a seed of God. And I know, without a doubt, I've got him. And, like I said, Satan fit till the time I come back. But the message was left for me when I got home, but I didn't get it till today. Mm-hmm. But I just want to thank you and all for whispering a prayer for him. And you just don't know how that makes me feel to know I got my family here, my real family.
Yeah.
And please, please still continue to pray for Jimmy. They said if he didn't have treatment, he had 4 months. Well, we know better than, you know. It ain't up to them doctors, you know. But they told him if he would go in for treatment and everything, he might have a year. And he just tells everybody, he says, they say I only got four months. He's not, 70's got 4 months. And I'm so thankful to be back here. I've been down there amongst evil spirits that so bad, you know. And just pray for me that I can push on.
Give up, talk to Jesus, let Jesus
take
over.
Oh, give up.
Give up.
And let Jesus.
Let Jesus
take
over.
Over. Oh, give up.
Give up.
Let Jesus.
Let Jesus
take over. Take over.
Take over.
Oh, give up.
Give up.
And let Jesus.
Let Jesus.
Take over.
Take over.
Oh, give up.
Give up.
And let Jesus.
Let Jesus.
Take over.
Take over.
And here.
Give up.
Let Jesus.
Let Jesus.
Take over.
Take over.
Oh, give up.
Give up.
Let Jesus.
Let Jesus.
Take over.
Take over.
Oh, give up. Just give up.
Give up.
Let Jesus.
Let Jesus.
Take over.
Excited to be in here one more time. I'll go ahead and take this now before I start moving around. He has been too good to me. I woke up this morning, first off, excited.
Come on.
So excited. It's Wednesday. It's a Wednesday. You know, I came in here, it's almost like baseball. Safe. You're home. You made it home.
Yes.
Praise God. You made it home. And I was thinking, you know, with the storms that were supposed to come through.
We're supposed to come through.
All the hype. I was driving home from my mom's house, and I was like, you know what? I'm not going to let the devil rob me of my revelation. There was a man who said to the sun, don't even move.
Yeah, stay right there.
I said to the wind, I was like, I don't even want to hear wind blow.
Yeah.
I don't even want to see rain.
No.
I don't want to have my kids live in fear. Mm-hmm. I don't want to have myself live in fear of the unknown. I said, that power's mine. That power's mine. I claimed it.
Call for it.
I called for it, and guess what? Did you see any winds?
Come on.
Did you see any rain?
Nothing.
Come on now. Amen.
And this body is still safe.
Still
again,
safe.
Again, that's the second time a tornado has tried to threaten us.
Yeah.
And nothing can stand against us.
Nothing.
I come in here. Sister King, you turned me on with that testimony. Oh, my goodness. Though it may look bad. I have something greater. Something greater. I have a scripture for that. I love what Brother Moore said about that. I have a scripture for it. You know, for this time right now, I am so glad to be here. I'm so turned on. I'm so excited.
Yes.
Because I made it one more time.
Amen.
Because there's some people that didn't. And I'm eager. I'm hungry. I want to clap my hands. I want to serve God. I want to see it. There's a thirst there.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you come. You can come with a small dish. Or I dragged in a bathtub. I'm not leaving empty-handed. Right. I missed it. I missed Wednesday because of work. I missed the weekend because of work. I heard you guys had a good time without me. I heard you guys had a good time. But you know what? I wouldn't expect anything less.
Come on, come on.
I wouldn't expect anything less.
Amen.
But you know what? I'm here today.
Oh, yeah.
I'm here today. God's here today. Amen. You know, don't short your service yourself.
Right.
You get so tied up in who you are and circumstances.
Come on.
You'll You almost get talked out of a revelation. I have a blessing. I'm not going to be talked out. I love the fact that I was talking to my son today. You know, it's easy for a kid to say the armor. Because you think about it.
Yeah.
It's easy for him to imagine that.
Yeah.
If you have to go out with the whole armor.
Right.
You can't get any benefits and take you up all the word. All of it. You got to take all the word, not some of it. You can't pick and choose, well, I'll take this, I'll take that. But at the same time, I told Jackson, I was like, you know what? That seed of God can't help but take all the word. And you can't, right. I couldn't deny it if I even tried it. Because you know why? It's in me. Oh, Lord, it's such an exciting hour.
Amen.
I was thinking, you know, these messages have been preached. It's just whispering sweet secrets to me.
Yes.
You know, I can't think of any other body who can see what was clearly.
Right.
What is now and what is to come. The whole bread.
Yes.
The whole picture. I'm not sitting here, but, you know, thank God for what they did. You know, they did all they did. It doesn't make any less of it. But for me, I have a job to do. And I love it. We was at the store today with me and Ray Lynn. We were getting some groceries. And this old lady looked over. She just rolled over. Hey, I see you like beans. I was making bean soup. And I was like, you know what? She's talked whole life. She talked about her daughters, talked about her husband who died. And I was like, you know what? I'll see you again. She's like, I'd give you
identifying.
I would give you my number.
Come on.
She was 49. I was 50. But I have to get home. My daughter has cancer. I was, Lord, touch her. Touch her. Raise up a standard.
Come on.
I am tired of sitting here and be like, you know what? I want to pray with vindication.
Yeah. Right.
I don't want to pray like, Lord, Lord, let, you know, like, you know, lazy prayer. I don't want to be a lazy prayer. I want to say,
no.
You
Amen.
Know what, God? I want this. I'm claiming this.
Yeah.
I claim my parents' healing. I tell my son, I've seen too much.
Amen.
I've seen babies born.
Yeah.
I've seen bodies healed.
Yeah.
I've seen the dead raised.
Amen.
I've seen too much to be denied.
Amen.
Those miracles are still mine.
Yeah. Oh,
those
yeah.
are still my gifts.
Yes. Yeah. Amen.
I was like, you know what? You know, I said this. I didn't say, oh, big thing. I was like, I'll pray for her.
Yeah.
She's like, thank you. And she went, I'll never see her again. Until next time.
Right.
Until
right.
next time.
Until
but
next
it's that revelation that just, it's such a balance. You wake up, you're not sitting there like, well,
right.
who am I? What am I going to do today? You know exactly who you are. You walk through this life with a purpose. You walk with your sister King walking up here with her shoulders back. I'm not worried about nothing. Now he's got it. He's got it. If that's not a testimony enough, I don't know. 4 months, I ain't worried about it. God's got it. God's got it.
Yes.
So if she can say that, Lord, I want to get behind her as part of the body. Hold her arms up. I want to say the prayers. I want to get behind the body. So, Lord, thank you for revelation. Thank you for one more time that can darken these doors. Amen.
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 Yeah, it's so funny you say that because I have a praise report today. You know, I told you guys that I was diagnosed with celiac, and the doctor saw it, and she said it was a 90%, 99% chance. And Jeremiah told me, you know, God can take that 99 and turn it into zero.
Amen.
And I got the report back today. I do not have celiac. There is nothing there. Everything I tested for was negative. So God is a healer. You know,
look at God.
Amen. It's so beautiful to be loved by people like this. You know, it's, we're a body. You know? When I got the praise report, I went and I hugged my sister because her daughters and her kids have been praying for me. Everybody in this body's been praying for me. My kids prayed for me. And you know, that it's such a beautiful thing because it teaches them faith, you know? They are seeing this and it increases their faith.
Right.
And it's funny that tornadoes were on Levi's birthday. And he was like, I want to go to a movie. And I checked the weather and I was like, okay, we're going to go to this movie. And he was telling me all about the armor. He used all the correct terms. Thank you, Brother Dwayne, for that, because he knew them all. He was like, oh, yeah, that's the shield of faith I'm using right now. And I was like, yeah. So he prayed for that storm, and it went away. You know, Seth, your prayer worked, but so did ours. You know, I believe that so much. You know, I really, really, really enjoyed the messages on Sunday and Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
It was such a beautiful oneness with people I've never met in my life. And I felt like, you know, like so close, and it was the judgment. It was so fun. I really, really, really enjoyed it. And I'm glad to be home again. You know, it's been weeks. It's good to see you guys. It's good to be in the house.
Amen.
You know, you talking on I think it was Sunday, about dodging it. And I can't imagine why anyone would dodge this, because it's the most beautiful thing I've ever experienced in my life. You know, I think about that, and I was like, I wish I were there in service to be able to amen and put my, you know, my spice on it. But I was over in Florida putting my spice on it, you know. I just, you know, I'm just so excited. I thank God so much for everything. You know, even the healings, it's just like a child's breath. This is, the messages on Sunday were like, I am so close to getting out of here. You know, this is all temporary. This is, what if, you know, you heal me now, I'll die in 100 years. You know, it's simple, right? But God is so good to us that he takes care of us right now. Amen. You know, he's given us this walk, and we can enjoy it. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I'm not walking through this terrified. I'm walking through this with faith, with happiness. And I'm just like, I know, I just wanted to come and give my praise report. And I love you guys.
I got a testimony. Let me get in here real quick, because I see things building up in here. I'm already palm sweating already. I already know what time it is. I love this place. I love being able to come into the house and freely receive. You know, anymore, we just do this automatically. You don't have to think about it. You just live. I never knew how much that meant till today. I feel like I came back with 5 times, 10 times more than I had before we went on the trip. And it's just been, oh, Lord, can you make it any more simpler? And then, lo and behold, he just does. Every service is a hit. Every service, you can take something home. Every service, you can bring something. There's never been a freedom like this, ever, since the upper room. And it was still, even that wasn't even as good as what we're getting right now. We're getting the best. And, you know, let me speak from God's shoes real quick. He sees this bride, and he's like, they just love me. They love my word. They're so in tune with my word so much, I could throw anything at them, and they would still praise me. We have perfect faith, rapturing faith. And it's by time we do something with it. And I love this thing. I love that my sister got her healing. You know, when she got her healing, guess what? That the body as a whole gets to continue on with that same flavor that we love. He's the name above all names, so worthy of all praise. My heart will sing, how great is our God.
Our God, sing with me how thank God for being here. I want to thank God for us having a safe trip there and back. I mean, we had a beautiful time this weekend. And, I wouldn't miss that for the world. It was good hearing the ministers just get up and just preaching their heart out and just giving us the word. I mean, it was just it's a blessing. It really is. And we're spoiled here. Really are. And also, you know, I was just thinking about, you know, one thing. And, you know, Pastor Moore made a statement, I think, last week or so about us believing. He said, you were believers, not livers. And that stuck with me because that's what the bride is. That's what we do. We believe.
That's right.
We believe. So with Sister Elise's healing, I don't expect nothing less. I'm at a point now, I'm like, Lord, what took you so long? I mean, seriously. I mean, it's at that point because, I mean, we are his children by his faith. Yeah. I mean, we are his children. So he's going to take care of us. If anybody, he's going to take care of his bride.
That's right.
And I thank God for that. I really do. I mean, we have the full word here. And I just, it makes you just want to just scream sometimes.
Yeah.
It does. I mean, I just, you don't realize how blessed we are. I mean, the denomination, they don't have what we have. They don't. They don't have it. And it's not even to look down upon them. It's just thank God for just showing me this revelation. Amen. I just thank God for it. So God bless you guys.
Amen. Amen.
I know everyone's been saying it, but I want to say for myself, how great is our God? He is so good, and I'm so thankful. And I was just in there, even before Seth got up, I was just running through all the blessings that we get. And in my head, I was thinking about Lisa. I'd already known about her, and I was praising God for that. And the storm, everyone was almost like mad it didn't come, like, oh, they were wrong. I was like, no, I'm thankful. Like, that's an answer to prayer. And I'm just like, the world is never content in anything. No. They would be mad if it came, mad if it didn't. But I'm just glad that God just gives us the contentment, the peace, that even if it did come, we'd still be here today.
Right.
Because that's not life.
Amen.
That thrills us. And that's the most exciting thing to me. Because even if Elise had celiac for the rest of her life, even if the storm did come, that doesn't judge this revelation. I'm just so thankful.
Amen.
That not only does God answer prayers, but he gave me an ear to hear.
Right.
And I was thinking, even just being at Easter was an answer to prayers. Yes. I've prayed on that. I love that place. I was happy to be back. I was happy to hear the ministry.
Amen.
Like Elise said, I've missed this place. It's good to be home.
Amen.
We were gone, and it's just so different. But even then, I know God's in everything. I'm just so excited that I have this place. I have this body. Like Elise said, there's just so much love here.
Yes.
And I was sitting there, and I just run through my head, and I was thinking about Sister Joyce, and she was so positive, and Seth was so positive, Kevin, Elise, like, this is a positive place, and I'm just so thankful, and I couldn't thank God enough. I just wanted to tell him thank you one more time.
Amen.
Amen.
Sorry, guys. I just wanted to say how grateful I am to be able to be here, and how blessed I am.
Yes.
I had, like, a silly little self-conflict on Sunday. And I made it myself. But all I could do was pray on it because I didn't know what to do. And I was like, if this is something that's supposed to happen or how I'm supposed to feel, let it be or I'll get through it. And it wasn't how it was supposed to be. And I got through it. And
amen.
It shined a light on something else completely different, a completely different situation, different environment. And I'm just so grateful that I have something that I can rely on to bring myself peace.
Yeah.
And
to
be able to know that I can pray on something and feel completely different about a situation. And I'm just blessed to be able to be here tonight.
Amen. Oh, my.
I feel like traveling on. Page 42. And the only belief,
amen.
It was a good weekend, a lot of good preaching. Pastor blew it away Saturday night, and the speakers on Sunday did a really good job too. Heard so much prophecy and just different things. It was amazing. Good weekend, and I'm thankful for the opportunity. I got to drive one of the vans. Anything I can do to give back, I'm thankful for that. So it was a really good trip. I feel like traveling on. I feel like traveling on. Yes, I feel like traveling on. My heavenly home is bright.
I've like thanked God for everything that he's done for me, and he really has been moving so much in our lives. He's been touching AJ at work. He recently got a job promotion, and you know, amen. I don't want to stay quiet on that. I'm not trying to take his testimony or anything, but it was just something that we were praying on and that God touched, and I know he'll continue to touch it. And I also just wanted to get up here because, you know, I went on that Easter trip, and my sisters and my mom, they were coming from Florida. AJ is at work. And I was really nervous because I was traveling with a baby for the first time. And I was like, oh, gosh. And, you know, Henry's a mom's boy. And I was like, oh, you know, I was so nervous. I was praying so hard about it. And I knew that Renee was going to be in my car. And I was like, well, maybe I'll ask her to be my bathroom buddy, you know, for, like, having her hold Henry and stuff. Yeah. And before I even asked, he threw himself into her arms. And it was just, like, such a relief to me. And I was just, like, I almost brought me to tears then because I was, like, I was just praying so hard about this trip. And God touched. Henry was wonderful. I mean, he cried a little bit, but, like, he wasn't as bad as he could have been. So just to all my car mates.
But I just wanted to get up here and thank God, because I also was thinking, you know, with Henry, I didn't get to stay in the sanctuary as much as I would have liked. And, you know, I'm so thankful that our nursery has, like, a speaker that I can hear. But it also made me think, you know, I'm just in a different stage of life right now where I'm setting an example that I have to put that push in. I mean, I know he's young now, but I have to teach him how important this word is, that you have to step outside of your comfort zone for the word. You have to,
amen,
you know, just keep pushing and put the word first. Yep. And yes. I was thinking, because we were talking, you know, one of the meals about, like, our previous Easter experiences, and for as long as I can think, I've been on every Easter trip. You know, my parents put that in me, and right. I want to put that in Henry and any other kids that I have, and I'm just so thankful for this word, and
amen.
I hope that Henry will learn how important it is, and I just want to thank everyone for his help.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. I am so blessed to be in this message. So today would have been my brother's 35th birthday. I'm not sad, but I'm happy, because I know one day I will see him again.
Yes.
Also, I would like a prayer cloth at the end. My friend Bridget, I have faith in him, you know, healing and stuff. There's so much going on with her, but I would just like a prayer cloth, if that's okay. And I can't wait to hear what God has to say tonight.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Sing 138 in the choruses, and we'll get him up. Let me do some announcements real quick. Remember, we got men's fellowship April 27th, and the women's is going to be on June 1st, whatever they decide to do. We're going to Bluffton May 5th as a church. And then this is a new one. July 20th, we got a church camp coming up. It's a trip to Indiana. So a lot of things coming up.
Amen. Year.
Coming to his house.
To his house, gathered in his name to worship him. We have come into his house, gathered in his name to worship him.
Sing one more song. I love you, Lord, key of G's, page 43.
Oh, I love you, Lord. And I lift up my voice
to worship you.
With all my soul, rejoice.
Oh, I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice just to worship you with all my soul. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. Let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. Help me sing it again. Hallelujah. Just to worship you.
I read.
So take joy.
So take.
Let it be a sweet,
let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear.
Let's sing it one more time if you don't mind. Hallelujah. Oh, I love you, Lord.
Oh, I love.
I live. To worship all my soul,
all my soul, I rejoice.
So take joy, hallelujah.
So take joy.
Jesus, thank you for this opportunity to get together tonight. Lord, we come here as believers, young, old, just ready to hear the word, Lord. We haven't stopped believing, and we're excited to hear the word even tonight, Lord. Lord, help the hearer and the speaker to get out of the way so that we can just enjoy your word with no distractions. Lord, we got some prayer requests that were spoken and some that weren't spoken. Lord, we know you're going to touch us. Lord, we stand here as believers, and we're thankful for what you've already given us. We're going to come and open this bread and book of life and just go into your word one more time, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. I had all this stuff in my head thinking. And just thinking about how strong we are. It's good to know that you got a strong man holding you. You know, because I've been in
been different things, and we all have, but, you know, even if you're thinking about even just in the natural, if you're going through something and you didn't think you could make it, and somebody strong just reached out and grabbed you. You say, thank God for a strong man. You know, and I look out through the audience, and I think about what it was like as a young person, and me and Jeremiah and Miss Courtney, we'd be old young people, kind of think, and we'd have to sing, you know, with 6-year-olds and 8-year-olds, and, you know, we're in high school and college, and we're thinking, we got to sing with the kids, you know, it's because they weren't strong. And I'm thinking about it, I'm like, those same not strong kids are not here now. But when I go to sing now, I'm surrounded by strong kids. That lets me know we got a strong future. Because I'm looking at it, I go, look how far we got with just this little group. Where are we going to get with this big group? You know, I'm looking around, I'm seeing, you know, a Micah, a Daisy, a Riley, praising God. You know, I see Michelle get up and testify, and I think, praise God. I see Beth get up and testify, and I think, praise God, this is a strong group. You know, I've been around weak people, and weak people talk weak. They do. You can always see it. They always give away for a way out before it even starts. Well, maybe he God's will, possibly. Maybe God will, maybe. But when you're strong, I know God is going to move. I see Brother Kevin, he says, I wonder what took you so long. That's a believer. That's a strong person. That's if they're going through it, they're, I'm going to believe God for today. And if he doesn't show up today, I'm expecting him to show up tomorrow. If he doesn't show up tomorrow, I'm still expecting him to show up the next day. You know, that, you know, there's a bunch of people that were out there waiting for Brother Branham to show up, and he didn't show up. And they gave up. But the word of God showed up. God still was here. And the believers followed right in that lockstep. They said, God is still here. I serve the God of Moses. Amen. You know, and I look out here and I'm thinking about how that Joshua group was just so much different than the Moses group. They were so strong that even in their old age, they had the same strength that they had in their youth. That's what I'm getting at, is that if you're strong now, you'll be strong then. You know, even Brother Branham said, if you don't serve God by what, 21, 20-something, early 20s, don't worry about it. It ain't going to happen for you. Well, you got a chance to serve God now. Now, I get it. Some people come in later on, but it's serve them while you're young. It's a benefit to it. So I'm excited. I'm looking forward to what God's going to do. I got to, you know, I'm just so overjoyed. My sister was healed. I mean, I'm just so happy. It's beautiful. That's my sister. I mean, that's my natural sister. That's part of my body. You know, and if she gets healed, that does nothing but increase my faith. Oh, that increases my faith. It's, if I was ever going through anything, I go, I've seen cancer healed. I've seen bowels mended. I've seen that taken away. And I look at this and I go, I'm going to be stronger now than I was before I got here. I'm encouraged by it. You know, you should be encouraged by it. You know, there's some people that no matter how much evidence you give them, they're still not going to believe. And there's some people, you just give me just one little shred of proof, and I'm going to stand on that till I see the next one. I stand on that believing, and I hold on to that healing until I see the next one. I don't doubt God's going to move. I see what he's already done, and I believe it. Amen. But there's some people that hear the word of God, and no matter how much I give them, no matter how much you bring to them, because God's the only revealer. So I praise God that he's revealed it to me. I praise God that he's opened his word to me. Now I'm going to get in here and get started a little bit. I give you guys a little bit of update. I know it's probably Sunday night. We'll probably dive more into a little bit of update if we ever get time then, but about Easter. We had a great time. We had a wonderful time. It was a great time had by all, you know. And I'll go through it, and maybe I'll mess up some of the names or something, but you guys have to correct me on it. But the meat of what they were preaching is what I remember. So if I don't remember the right now, it was like four Jameses. So if I mess up which James it was, then that's not the most important part. It's what they were preaching. You know, we went down there, and appreciate the brothers driving, Brother Skyler and Brother Doug. Thank you guys for doing that. We got down there record time, you know. Record time, and then the time change really helped too, right, Brother Jim? We were both looking at the clock. It was good to be there. We made it there, and we had a good time. And Saturday, they fed us, and it was good to see our brothers again. And it was just a really good time. It was, you know, and Brother Jeremiah even said, he said, it's good to be back home. You know, it's good to be amongst believers. And those brothers believe, you know, so you can tell. And, you know, so Saturday night, we had the one brother was preaching. And he's talking about full redemption. And I just loved how it all tied together. I think his name was Brother Charlie, if I'm not mistaken. Charlie Faye, thank you. And so he was preaching. He kicked it off Saturday evening. And he did a great job talking about full redemption. And the thing about it was he was preaching in the book of Revelations, which is going to be kind of interesting because we keep talking about the services. So he preached in the book of Revelation about full redemption and about the need to be redeemed. Like you had to, you know, what it took and who even was worthy to do the redeeming, who could pay that price. And then that was just phenomenal hearing that brother. And he went over in the book of Revelations, Revelations 4 and 9, Revelations 5, Revelations 10, 1 through 4. So whenever somebody's in the book of Revelations, you stay there and you got my attention the whole time. You know, I'm excited about talking about the book of Revelations because that's the end. When you start talking about the end, I know there's only one more step. You know, that means, because we're not adding another book to the Bible. So if you're talking about the end, that's the full revelation of Jesus Christ. That can only be revealed if the seals are open. So you can't even go into the book of Revelations unless the seals are open. So you don't even know what you're reading. So when somebody's in the book of Revelations, they know what they're talking about. That means they've heard from a prophet. That means that they recognize that the seals have been opened. That means they know what time it is. So whenever you're there, that's a lot of telltale signs that you know what you're talking about. So they went over there and he was talking about the book of Revelations, full of redemption. And that was beautiful. Then we had a little bit of a pause. The voices got up and it was beautiful. Some strong brothers and sisters got up and sang and preached. Did their thing, not preached, but they sang. You know, he's got Brother Jeremiah leading that song, I Trust in God, which is one of my favorite songs. So it's just so you know, you will hear it 100 million times, and I won't care about your feelings at all. It's my favorite song. I didn't say it was your favorite song. It's my favorite song. So anytime I get a chance to sing a song, I'm probably going to sing that song. I love that song. It means a lot to me. I was in the hospital when that came out, so I was just excited about that song. But anyway, so the young people got up, and they sang, and they did their thing, and it was exciting. And then Pastor Moore got up. You already know how I feel about him. And he definitely shined some more light on it. But what I love about it is that Pastor Moore started off in the book of Genesis. Now, I remember I told you Brother Charlie started off in the book of Revelation. Yeah. Pastor Moore started about the book of Genesis, and he was talking about the reason for the cross, which ties right into full redemption, which ties them together. And then he was going on to talk about how he said, you know, even now at this day, you know, even through the ages, God was breaking them off a piece. And he referenced, you know, Texas Roadhouse Bread, or I think you said Texas Longhorn, but Texas Roadhouse Bread is what I was thinking about, because that's the bread that has that nice butter with that cinnamon stuff. So you start talking about that, you get me right in there. I know right where you're talking about. But he was just saying through the ages, God was baking off a piece of the bread and handing it to them. They ate all the bread they could get, but God was breaking off a piece. But now in this time period, God gives you the whole loaf. So I'm still going to eat all of it. You just gave me the whole loaf this time. And now we got from Genesis to Revelations. You got the whole loaf. And he talked about that. And he was preaching that. And it was just a beautiful, beautiful service. And he went through that. And it was just amazing. You know, and he even talked about the veil being ripped from top to the bottom. And we'll get more into that. But he wore himself out on Saturday. You know, so we got a chance to fellowship with the brothers afterwards, which is always a great time. Just talking about the word. And I encourage you to do that whenever you go on a trip. Just sit down with some brothers and sisters and fellowship about, like, you have nothing else to do. You're a captive audience. You're here in Kentucky. Ain't nothing open. Gas station closes at 8. Just sit there and fellowship around the word. Like, that's what we're on a trip for. You know, even when we were kids, me and Jeremiah, you talked about it. We was like, man, we'd stay up till 4, 5 o'clock, dumb kids, and have to get up for service and be exhausted. But we were just so excited to see one another. We hadn't seen each other for so long, but that's how you should do it when you're on a trip. You know, I really encourage you to do that, you know. Get together, fellowship around the word, and just hang out and enjoy the time, you know, and it was really good. We got to do that. But Pastor Moore wore himself out. So he was hoarse while we were out there just having a good old time cutting up. Me, Brother Jim, Brother Don, and some other brothers were in there. I think Brother Steve was even there. We had a good time. So we just had fun with that. And that was Saturday night. So I don't know what you did in your room, but that's what we did in ours. But we had a good time, and the church provided. Even the people at the hotel, they really blessed us as well. They got sodas in a cooler and had it set. Remember, I just told you the gas station was closed at 8. So by the time we got out of church, if you didn't have nothing to drink, you weren't going to get soda for your pizza. You'd get a pizza and the Bible says eat and drink. So you'd have had a pizza with nothing to drink with it, and it would have been terrible. But they put the soda in the cooler and had it all nice and cold for us. So, you know, praise God for them. They really blessed us. So appreciate them. Appreciate the church getting that set up. But that was really nice to have. And then Sunday morning got even more crazy because they started building off of it. And that was the thing that was beautiful to see. You know, when people are talking about the trip, you got to see it build. Like, we didn't know what Brother Hunt was going to preach. We didn't know what Brother James was going to preach. We didn't know what Brother Charles was going to preach. We didn't have any clue. Nobody was conferring with anybody. It was just the messages tied right in together. And so the next brother gets up, and Brother Jeremiah may be saying it wrong. Is it Brother James? Hunt. Brother Hunt. Okay, so thank you.
So Brother Hunt preached, and he's a typologist, so he's more of a teacher. And he went through and he was talking about the timelines and those different things. It was beautiful to see about how those prophecies are being fulfilled in the different timelines. You know, 40 years from here, this year from there. And so it was great to see the timelines. And I love talking about that because that's a good historical representation of God always vindicating his word by bringing it to pass. That's great to see because God does things to the day. You know, even when he got the children of Israel out of Egypt, he got them out to the day. When Jesus was born to the day of what he needed to be. Even how long his ministry was to the, you know, everything was typed out. So it was good to hear him. And then at the end, the other brother, and that's, is that Brother James? Sparks. That's him. And Brother Kobe would love him. He was a good, he was a funny storyteller, so he was a funny guy. And he had a good time, and he preached as well. And he went right into it, and he kind of summed up a lot of everybody, but just came in there from his thing. And what I saw is that them brothers have been eating good down there. So I'm excited to be fellowshipping with them. One was from Atlanta, one from Carolina. I'm excited to go to any of those places. I hear somebody talking about the Word of God. I don't care where you're at. You could be in the Philippines. You could be in Zimbabwe. You could be in Nigeria. I'm excited to hear the Word of God. And if it's local, that's even better. So what I mean by that is domestic. If I don't got to take an international flight, I'll take Delta Airlines to Atlanta. That's easy. But so it was good to go and hear those brothers, and they were talking about that, and they were preaching really well, and it was just exciting. We had a great time with them, and I really just enjoyed hearing the brothers and hearing what they had to say. And the brother Sparks, you know, towards the end of his, he was preaching, and then he had, you know, some quotes wrote down. And I got some quotes too, but he had some quotes, and he was like, "Hey, you read this," and then Brother Spivey Sr. got in on it. So he went over to Brother Spivey Sr. Now, and this is all just, everybody's just doing their thing. We're just having a party. So he goes over to Brother Spivey Sr. He's like, "You read this." And he was like, "No more sevens, no more threes." Then Brother Spivey throws it in, "No more quotes, no more anything." You know, so we had, and so you know how he gets riled up. You know, he got stirred and jumping around and having a good old time. But it was good to see him preaching again. I hadn't seen him preach in years, so that was great to see that. That God's moving in there. So, and I'm sure the church there appreciated too, because that's, you know, that's their elder. So it was good to see that, him stirred up about the Word of God, encouraging and moving into this thing. And, you know, one of the things the brother said is that, you know, the eighth day doesn't have any, like, doesn't have any part of the seventh. You know, when you get into the eighth, there's no part of the seventh. Just like in the sixth day has no part of the fifth. Like, you put away everything, and you take what is for that day. And so it was nice to see. And even when he's talking about the veil, that brother mentioned the veil that Pastor Moore was talking about, the veil being ripped. And it all tied together. It was just perfect. And the thing about the church world, and we talk about the veil, and I just want to make sure we, you know, what I've learned is that sometimes we say something that we, and I say we, me, I understand what it is. But if you don't know what it is, you can just be amen in something that you really don't fully understand. So the veil, so just as a context, because when Jesus died on the cross, there was a veil. And this thing was probably, I want to say, they've done it, probably 60, 70 feet up, that the veil went up. And when Jesus died, God ripped the veil. Like, it was like a flag, like a flag. Like, if you had a flag, a pole, and a veil in the middle. God ripped the veil from the top to the bottom. That was his way to show that man didn't do it. And typically behind the veil, that's where the priest would go behind the veil, and God was showing that there's nothing else behind the veil. When that veil was ripped from the top to the bottom, that was God's way of saying that he's no longer behind the veil anymore. And that's exciting to think about, because if you're no longer behind the veil, there's only two sides to the veil. There's behind or in front. And if you're no longer behind the veil, that means God is now in skin, manifesting himself in flesh and blood. He's not hidden anymore. You don't have it. Doesn't, and the matter of fact, and about the veil is that it took certain qualifications to even get behind there. But when the veil was ripped, all the traditions, all the qualifications, all the things that you had to know were taken away. It was you and God. No more intermediary, no more intercessory. It was just you and God. So that when we say the veil was ripped, that's what we're talking about, is that that veil was ripped from top to bottom to show that man couldn't do it. So that they went in that, and they talked about that, and we had ourselves a time. So that was really, really good. But for tonight, I'm, you know, hopefully I gave you like a little synopsis there. And then even in the quote, the scripture for that veil is Matthew 27, verse 51, if you ever want to read it, it talks about that. But so that's, there, we got that there. We got that out of the way, little update. Give you guys a two-minute summary of what's going on, because it probably Sunday night we'll probably dive into a little bit more if you want, but whatever. If we don't, because sometimes we'll get to that point, Pastor Moore's like moving on. So I gave you a chance.
There was. If you weren't there, that's a great little summary there so you can know what was going on. But that way, if we see those brothers, you know that they're preaching the truth, and we're excited to hear from them. So we had a great time there. God really blessed. But tonight, I want to kind of stay right in that same thing because, you know, we're coming right off of Easter, and Easter celebrates Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. After Christ had died and resurrected, there was a commandment or a commission that the believers were supposed to do. They were supposed to go share the good news. So that's what I'm going to talk about tonight, the gospel. Because that's what they were told to do after. And so we had the services this Easter talking about who paid the price, all that he did. That was the good news, but there's some more good news to share. You know, it's great to talk about all, because when you share in the good news, you know, you talk about all the things that God did. You know, you could talk about Jesus dying for our sins. You could talk about the miracles that were performed. You could talk, those things are why you should believe the news. But the news that we have is that we're getting out of here. The news that I have is I'm bringing you news that we're having a rapture. We're about to leave this place. You know, and that's beautiful to know because, you know, you got a group of people that are so deep in the news that it doesn't matter when you talk to me. You know, we had a good time. You know, it was me and Kevin and Sway driving there and driving back. And I had taken a nap and on the way back home. And I get up and Sway was like, "Hey, I've been waiting to ask you some questions." And I was like, "No time like the present. I'm over there in 2 Timothy. Be instant in season and out. Reprove and rebuke. Ready. I'm ready." I was like, Kevin can tell you. I didn't say, "Well, Sway, let's wait till we get the Pastor Moore around. Let's see if Jeremiah can, let me conference them in." I said, let's do this. Let me pull up the Bible app real quick so I can go to whatever scripture you want to ask a question about. And we can rock and roll right now. Hey, no longer waiting. We can do this right now. I done had 4 good messages of preaching. I've been in this thing for a couple hundred years, I feel like. I've been in this a long time. I'm not new to this. Yeah, I know what I know. And the thing about me is when I know it, I don't care what anybody else says. I know that I know that I know. I can do it if you're here. I can do it if you're not here. I can do it if you help me. I can do it by myself. But if it's something that I know, oh, I know it. And so at that point, I didn't know what question Sway was going to ask, but she asked one. We went right to the scripture. She had a Bible question. We gave her a Bible answer, and it was right there, right down the middle. I didn't have to. You know what? All I did was check with that inner teacher that I had already heard the answer before. That's right. And I went back to the answer that I already had and gave it to her. I prophesied again. I gave her the same answer that I had got. I gave it to her. So I appreciate what God was doing there, but that helped her as well. I mean, you know, we had a good time there. But, you know, the last thing about this is, Brother Mike's not here. But if Brother Mike had mentioned something about this drum thing in Kentucky, he said, "Man, you know," he was talking about the trumpet and the rhythm and all that kind of stuff. And he had mentioned some drum. And I was like, "Well, we probably got to practice that, Brother Mike. We got a little bit of time. You want it, then go ahead and get it ready for Kentucky then." You know, if you were wanting to do it, but it was some cajole or drum thing or whatever. But so, Brother Mike, God bless you. Hopefully you're listening in. We'll practice on that and get that ready because we always want to be ready. You know, I don't really like have too much for somebody that I tell them what's going to happen and then they get there and then they got to get ready. I need you to be ready before you get here. That's like service. I don't need you coming here trying to figure out what's going to happen. You know what Wednesday is. You come in here expecting. Amen. You come in here with a song in your heart, testimony, praise. You should be instant in season and out of season just like you expect me. If it's Sunday morning and I expect Pastor Moore to preach, there is not a doubt in my mind that he's coming ready. He's not here. He's not going to go in the back and try to find another scripture. He's not going to sit here and hope that he finds something. He comes ready. Now, God can come and change whatever he wants. But the Bible does say, study to show yourself approved. Amen. So I don't come in here and make this up. So I praise God for that, but we had a good time. So anyway, let's get into this. Let's read a scripture here and let's get started because I praise God for what he did. And we're going to read that and we're going to be talking about the gospel tonight. So that being said, let's turn over to the book of Mark, chapter 16. And a little bit of reading here, get this out of the way, but it's a really good chapter and we'll read it and we'll get to it. So it says, "And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him." They were coming to see Jesus who had just passed. "And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came into the sepulchre at the rising of the sun, and they said among themselves, 'Who shall roll away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?' And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great." They knew that they were going to need a couple people to do this.
And then when they got there, they saw it was gone. And entering into the sepulcher, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, be not affrighted, yet seek Jesus of Nazareth, which is crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you unto Galilee. There ye shall see him, as he said unto you. No, that's just told what Jesus had already told them. And they went out quickly and fled unto the sepulcher, and for they trembled and were amazed, neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Now, just for context, all the people that were following Jesus, there was negative implications starting to happen. They had just killed Jesus. Now, if you keep claiming that Jesus is the Lord, they're going to kill you. And that's actually what happened to all of the disciples. And when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with him, as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. After that, he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed them they. Now Jesus came back twice, and none of those groups believed. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meal and unbraided with them in their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, this is where I'm getting it from, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into the heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere the Lord, working with them, confirming the word and signs following. Amen. May the Lord add his blessing to the word of God. They went out, and what did they go preach? The good news. The gospel. That's what they went to go preach. They went to go talk about Jesus, his life, and how it matched every single scripture. They went out and they said, you know, this guy was born of a virgin. This guy did all the miracles that you were waiting to see. This guy did all those things. Let's believe the good news. They went out and preached the gospel. And that was the good news. But now, it's not enough, so to speak, to just preach that he died. It's not even enough to say that he came back. This story doesn't end there. This story continues on. This thing is newer than what the church world wants to make it. They want Jesus 2,000 years ago still waiting on the Lord to come back. But guess what? He's back. And we go through every service and say, we saw God. We see Christ. And people believe us not. They go, well, I want to see the scars on his hands. And I say, I can show you a miracle. Right. Oh, I want to see this. I can show you a healing. I can show you any of the signs that you want to see that show that God is vindicated in this day, and they still don't believe it. Amen. But that's not up to us to make sure that they reveal it, that they believe it. God is the only revealer of the word. Amen. It is your job just to preach the good news. Amen. That's all you're required to do, is to prophesy again, like they say over in the book of Revelations, Revelations 10, 8 through 11, you take that book and you prophesy again. What's in that book? All the promises of God. Amen. All the promises that this whole world wants to have. I have all the promises. I can reveal it to them. I can say, here's where your loved one's going to be. Here's where the battle of Gog and Magog. Here's what was revealed in the seals. Here's what was revealed in Genesis. Here's how the star happened. Here's what happened at the flood. Do they want it? No. But that doesn't change that I have the good news. Amen. That doesn't change that I'm bringing the gospel. That doesn't change that I'm bringing the truth. It doesn't change that I'm bringing the unfailable word of God every single service. Amen. Do you want them to believe it? Yes. I would want any man to perish. Amen. But can I make them believe it? Amen. No. I cannot force anyone to believe this word. Amen. Oh, the disciples, they gave their life for this thing. You would think if 11 people were given the same message, no matter what was happening, it would have to be the truth. They saw their friend get killed. They saw this one get killed. And all they had to do was deny Christ. Couldn't do it. They're like, I can't do it. The truth is the truth. Right. That's the same for me. My family goes here. My friends go there. Do you want me to deny it? I can't do it. I see too much. I know too much. I was blind, and I was like you and didn't know what was going on. But my eyes have been open now. I heard that news, and it did something to me that nothing else has done for me. Oh, I see what God can do. I've seen what God can do in my life, and I expect miracles every time I step. This is the group that expects God to move no matter what. Amen. Brother Seth, you gave that testimony talking about that when they stopped the sun. He didn't hope that the sun stopped. He didn't hope that it would stop. He said, son, you stand still. Amen. As a commandment. It wasn't if we just had a little bit more daylight, that would really be helpful. No, son, you stand still. When you know what you do, when you have a revelation on something, all doubt is removed. Matter of fact, and I'll give you an example of this because we've seen this, we've lived this. Brother Childers, one of the strongest men of faith, his brother was sick. Remember this. Brother Bill was deathly sick. And Brother Childers, he didn't want to not hear a word from God. He was hoping for a word from God. And he said to the church, he said, listen, I want to hear from God. But if you don't have a revelation that you know that God spoke to you, don't get excited. Don't get in your feelings. Just keep quiet. Amen. Meaning, if God ain't talked to you, I don't want to hear it. Amen. Because if you got an emotion and maybe the song is just right and the preaching just got you just swaying just the right and you forgot about your bills just right and you can say, oh, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Bill, you're healed. But you don't have a revelation. Then what happens when Bill's vitals start going down and you don't have a revelation? You're going to start doubting. You're going to start thinking, oh, God wasn't with me. But when you got a revelation, let me tell you the difference here. Let me tell you the difference. This is why I got excited when I look around and see strong people. When you got a revelation, you hold to what God told you. No matter what's going on, when the vitals go down, when they go up, when somebody's doing okay, and when they're doing bad, you say, God, you said, you told me, you said that you would take care of this. Now, I don't know what you're going to have to do to fix it, because it doesn't look good. That's these eyes, but I can be deceived with these eyes. Satan can put something in front of these eyes, but God, you said. That's when you have a revelation. That's when you're holding on to what God said. And we have a revelation in this hour. I don't care if it takes another 100 years for the rapture. That doesn't concern me. I know it's the only next step. I know that there won't be another messenger. I know that there won't be another message. I know that there won't come another prophet. It doesn't matter to me. I just know that that's the next step. That's it. You know, when you're training in the Navy SEALs, so you got Navy SEALs is one group, and they train as a group of people. But there's another group of people that just train. It's called the Delta Forces. And they train by themselves, right? And they don't tell the Delta Forces how long things are going to be. If you go out and do some training, they don't tell you that you're going to be out there for a month. They don't tell you you're going to be out there for 3 months. They want you to be so sure in yourself that you can handle the job no matter how long it is. And they don't want you thinking, oh, this is only going to be a two-week assignment. Because then at day 13, you can be like, I just got to make it 24 hours. And you got all these people around. No. This is a select group. I don't care how long I got to wait. You tell me, I know the rapture is the next step. If it's going to come tonight, great. Comes in 40 years, great. Comes in 140 years, great. I know it's the only next step. Amen. So I'm going to continue to preach the good news no matter what I see, no matter what I hear. Oh, I can look around and see what's going on with Israel and know that that's not going to last long, but that don't change my revelation. I know that no man, no matter whether you read the Bible or don't read the Bible, look at chronologically or not, no man knows the day. No man knows the day, the time, or the hour in which the Lord returneth. So I can't lean onto my own understanding and go, well, it was 40 years from this time. The Jubilee was this time. And then that means in about 2 more years, God's going to come at this time at 11 o'clock and 11 p.m. I can't do that. I can't do that. There's no scripture that backs that up. Now I can hope and I can say it looks like it's close and I would want it to happen. I want it to happen right now. I want it to happen at 8:27. That's my prayer. That's what I would hope. And that's what I'm longing for. But if it takes till tomorrow, I don't care. I'm still going to keep preaching this good news. This is all I got. This is my gospel. This is what I got a revelation on. Everything else I hope can happen. Everything else I hope happens. But I got a revelation that this is my only message that I have. Oh, I can't be turned off on this message.
I know what it is. Amen. Oh, I know what it is. I thank God that he gives us this understanding. Amen. That it's just so simple. There's a lot of people that want to make serving God hard. A lot of people that want to make reading the Bible hard. It ain't that hard. It ain't that hard. And I'll give you some advice. Just stay with where your pastor's at. That'll help you. Because you start going out without a light, you're bound to walk into something. You are. You're bound to walk into something. You're bound to walk into something. I don't care how much you know. I don't care how much you knew about God before you got here. Which I always question anyway. That's just me personally. But because I'm like, how did you even know about God? You didn't even know where he was. You didn't know what God even looked like till you got here. How are you going to tell me you heard from him? You didn't know who he sounded like. But that's just me. I'm not putting my scruples on anybody else. I'm just telling you, I doubt when people tell me they're so spiritual and they just found out what God was. Because they'll go back to the Pentecostal experience. And you can't have two births. You can't be born in Pentecostal and then born again now. You can't have two births. You get born again, not again and again. You get born again once. And matter of fact, that's even what they said. They said Luther would have been here had he lived long enough. But his birth was then. And that was it. He didn't get another one. When Wesley came, Luther wasn't on the scene. God knows what he's doing. God knows what he's doing. You don't get a birth and a birth and a birth and a birth. And that's what they'll have you doing out there in the church world. I was saved and I got saved and I got saved and I got saved and I got saved again. How many times do you need to be baptized? How many times do you need to get a new birth? It's just one. See, as a matter of fact, let me tell you this, because this is here at our church, if Satan's battling you on a baptismal, just do it again. It's just water. Just do it again if it's going to get Satan off your back. But does that mean you're born again and again? Nope. When you get that one clear understanding of your day and its message, that's it. Now, if you got to get baptized 4 and 5 times just to get Satan off your back, do it. Do it. What hinders you? If there be some water there, don't let Satan battle you, because all we're trying to do is keep Satan off of you anyway. That's the whole purpose of the ministry. That's the whole purpose of the preaching. It's so that we can all come into the unity of the faith and the perfection. With no errors, no scruples, no problems. Pure word. I don't want any leaven among you. So if you come in here and you got something on you, let's get it off. Why? I need you to be able to tell this good news with no attitude at all. I don't want any of your old thinking on it at all. I just want you to share the good news just how it is. Oh, it's like a perfect speechwriter. If you're a good speechwriter, I don't want you adding to it. I know where the joke should be. I know where the comma should be. I just need you to read what I wrote. And matter of fact, that's what it says over in the book of Revelation. It says, you take this book, this perfect speech that I wrote for you. It's perfect. And where the commas are, where I stopped, where the inflections are. You don't know that there's 2,000 years between this one. You don't know that this is between that. You just read exactly what I gave you. Amen. You take that book and you prophesy again. That's it. Don't add to. Don't take away. Amen. It's all scriptural right there. Just give the word of God for what he's giving you, and that's it. Because a lot of times people think, they go through the Bible and they go, when I read the scripture, I don't get how you got it. You're not supposed to. You're not. It's compassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses. Witnesses. Plural. Meaning, I want what you saw. 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 That's witnesses, plural. If we're all going to give the same story, then I just need one witness. Oh, I saw what Isaiah saw. Well, then don't say nothing then. I already heard from Isaiah. I saw what Caleb saw. Then don't say nothing then. I already heard from Caleb. But I want your point of view. I want what you saw. Tell me what God did for you. That's going to help me a little bit more on my walk. Because I know if he's helping you and you're with me, I know he's helping us both. Amen. Matter of fact, that's even what Brother Branham said. Because Brother Branham was struggling with different things sometimes in his life. And he went over there to the other side and he saw that a group got in. And he said, what's that screaming? He said, that's Paul's group going in. Oh, you know what that did for Brother Branham? He didn't get jealous and think, oh, they got to go in, and I'm still here. That encouraged him. That inspired him. He said, well, if they got in, then I know I'm getting in because I preach what Paul preaches. That's how it is even when you give me your testimony and you say, God did this for me. I go, well, if God could do that for her, I know he can do that for me because I believe what she believes. I serve the God of beliefs. That's how I look at this. Oh, when you tell me about your healings, it strengthens me. I'm a mess when it comes to that. Because that's vindication. Because, you know, I look at it like this. I'm like, I prayed. Now, she talked about her kids praying and those kind of things. But I get real personal when it comes to prayer. I prayed. I know what I said in my prayer. I know how I wanted it to be healed. I know how fast I wanted it to happen. I wanted no pain. I wanted a zero. I wanted a zero diagnosis. I wanted them to be questioning themselves. That's what I wanted to see. And when you tell me they took it to 99 to zero, I'm saying, that's exactly how I prayed. Now, do I know how you prayed? I don't know, and I don't care. It don't matter. I want you to keep praying as a believer. But for me, that's just another bullet in my holster. So that when I see something that comes across my path and the doctor says, you got a 99% fail rate, I go, oh, no, no, no. No, 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 no. I've seen 99 turn to zero. I've seen God move too much to let you put that on my faith. I've got too much faith to stop now. Matter of fact, the Bible even says it'd be a sin to disbelieve now. Why? Because you've seen so much. Oh, my, my, my. This is a blessed group of people. Now, I know everybody did their homework this Sunday. Everybody that didn't go to Easter, you're supposed to go to another church. So I'm not going to look up. I know y'all did. Everybody did their homework. I'm not even going to ask about it. But what you'll find out is that nobody has what we have. Nobody has a balance like we have. Nobody has an understanding like we have. Nobody has common sense like we have. There are people that are serving a God they don't even want. They'll go to a church to not hear the word of God, just to pretend that they're serving God. They no bit want God. They don't even want their name called in the service. They don't want God to even know who they are. That's why they go to a mega church. They don't want it to be personal. They want to just blend in with the rest of the trash that's floating down the stream. You say, Brother Jay, no, there's some good people. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm saying the message that they receive is trash. The people that are preaching it to them are liars. And they accept it because they know no better. But we all came from that. So I'm not saying I'm better. I'm eating better now. I got an understanding now. I was blind then, but now my eyes are open. I couldn't go back to that world if I wanted to. I would rather just not serve anybody than serve a false God. I'd rather just not make another idol and just go on about living. That would be better. Matter of fact, when Moses came down, Moses had went up to go talk with God. Had talked to him for a little bit. Went up to go talk to God and came down with the commandments, and the people got so tired of waiting. Got so tired of waiting. Now, this is the same group of people that God took out of slavery. Showed them miracles over and over and over again. We know the stories. That group of people got tired of waiting. And you go, well, Brother Jay, it had been a long time. It had been whatever. I don't know. I know it wasn't over 40 years. And there's a group of people now that have gotten tired of waiting. They're thinking, well, Brother Branham should have been back in a tent. He should have came back with a boat. Should have came back in a plane. God should have came back. They're tired of waiting. Right. Moses came down and saw that they had made idols to replace the one true living God. Got so frustrated with it that he's carrying the word of God that God had gave him. He had went up that mountain to get it and just threw it down like, I can't believe you idiots accepting this trash. That's sometimes how I get. When I know without a shadow of a doubt that this word can change everything about your life. Everything about your life. It can change your temperament. It can change your attitude. It can change your work ethic. It can change everything about you. And I see people struggling. And I'm thinking, all you got to do is get to the house. But yet, they want to replace the word of God with some kind of idol. And it hurts my heart. Because I know how good this is. I know what good news we have. I know what we have. I know. Come on now. Now we're using Elise like we use the story of Rahab. I'm using her over and over again. But Elise, you knew what the doctor said. Jeremiah, you knew what the doctor said. Now we have third person interpretation. They can tell us what the doctor said. They can tell us what the results were, but they saw them for themselves. They knew that this was going to be, and that no doubt worked on their faith. Lord, I'm praying. Lord, I'm believing. Do you feel any better? Do you feel any different? I don't. But I know that we already called on the Lord to move on this. And I want to come back to church. That's what she said. So you can't mess with it now.
Amen. The proof's in the pudding now.
She said it before she got here. She said it when the problems were here. She said it when it was at 99%. She said, I want to come back here. What a report. That is not even there. Come on now. She didn't say, I would like to. She said, I'm going to come back. What a report that is not even there. See, there's some people that don't know how to praise God in advance. But he's been so good. So good that I can praise him in advance. Oh, my, you can't take nothing from my journey now. You wonder why we're so strong? I speak with authority because I've seen him move. Amen. I've seen him move. I'm an heir of a king. Amen. Pastor Moore told that story about that slave that came over and was a king. He walked different. He talked different. He knew, he recognized authority. He knows who he was. I know who I am. The Bible says that whatever you bind, whatever you bind, he didn't put a limit on it. I got a no limit card with God. Amen. He don't check none of my spending. He said, whatever you bind, amen, I'll bind it. Amen. Same thing he said, whatever you loose. Right. See, a lot of people want to bind. Church world don't mind locking you up and sending you to hell. Right. But what they don't ever want to do is let you go to heaven. Right. They're blocking them pearly gates like some linebackers. Yeah. That they don't want you to go to heaven. They're okay with sending you to hell with any problem you have. But sending you to heaven, they can't do that too freely. They can gladly send you to hell for any problem. It could be dressing, it could be language, it could be name. They can send you there for something that you don't even have control of. You could have Tourette's. And they go, well, that language issue. If you really were saved, God would remove that from you. Matter of fact, even, you know, then you go, Brother Jay, what are you getting at? I'm saying that there's precedent in the Bible that says this. The guy was blind. The story of the blind man. He was healed on the Sabbath. And before he was healed, they said, who sinned that he would be blind? Somebody had to do something. His mom had to do something. His dad had to do something. He was blinded so that the glory of the Lord could show. And then when he gets healed, do they glorify the Lord? No. Do they even thank him for the miracle? No. They go, who did this on the Sabbath? How could you get healed on that day? That's when you do no servile work. As if hundreds of people were getting cured of blindness. And you know what that guy had to say to him? Because they went to him and they were upset. These are people that are prone to kill people, church people. They will kill you, kill your influence, kill your testimony, kill, kill, kill. That's what they do. They're of their father, the devil. That, guess what? When Cain got upset and frustrated, he didn't know anything other to do than to kill. And that's what they do in the church world. They'll kill your influence. They'll check on this and check on that. They'll pull a problem from 20 years ago as if it was today. They'll kill you. So much so, scared the parents a little bit. In that story, they go to the parents and go, who did this? Parents are like, listen, he's of age. You can't hold me accountable. I didn't do it. He's of age. Go see him for yourself. And they go to him and they say, who did this? He's talking about it. He's like, this guy did it. And they're like, you know that guy's terrible. That guy's evil. He thinks he's this. He thinks he's that. He actually claims to be God. He says, I don't know what he is to you. I don't know. He could be the biggest liar you've ever met. He could be a used car salesman. He could be a black guy going to Kentucky to preach near the Ku Klux capital of the world. He could be all those things. But all I know is that I couldn't see, and now I can. That's all I know. You can tell me all you want about Fairborn. Oh, they do this. Oh, they do that. Oh, it's a cult here. Oh, they force the women to do this. Oh, they force the men to do that. Oh, you're not allowed to be lazy. Oh, you're... All those things may be true. They may make the men be men and the women be women. They may hold you accountable. They may not tolerate you being late. They may not tolerate you procrastinating. They may not tolerate you giving your own opinion. They may understand how leadership works. That may be true. But all I know is when I was Jehovah's Witness, I didn't know what God was. When I was at the Pentecostal church, I didn't have a rest. When I was dealing with the Baptists, I had no clue what true salvation was. All I know is that I couldn't read the Bible, and now I can. All I know is that nobody dared to step in the book of Revelation, and that's all I stay in. All I know is I didn't know the foundation of the book of Genesis, and now I do. I didn't know how it all ran together, and now I do. I didn't know that there were even search ages, but now I do. I didn't know the order that people were getting up. I didn't know who could get up. I didn't know that I could get some people up. But now I do. So all I know is I was blind, and now I see. So I'm sharing with you my good news without controversy. I'm not here to debate it. I'm not here to argue it. I'm not even here to prove it. It proves itself. The disciples didn't have to go dig up miracles. Let's go find a couple people that were healed and bring them with us. Let's have them come up out of wheelchairs to show that they can walk now. Let's grab the guy that couldn't see and have him testify while we go. I didn't do that. Because you know what? Whether I did it or I didn't, if they could bring, and Pastor Moore, you said this. You talked about that. You said, if Brother Branham even came back from the dead, they still wouldn't believe him. Oh, that sounds like you venturing without authority. Oh, okay. In the Bible, since you want to quote it all, Lazarus was down in hell. And one of the rulers looked over him and said, Lazarus, won't you head on up and tell my brothers and them, don't come down here. Don't come down here. Had to look over and say, even if we went up from hell back to them, I could send you up to go talk to your brothers. And they would not believe it. I ain't got to send me. I could send you. You ain't got to send Brother Branham. If Brother Childers came back himself to talk to the people that walked away from him, they still wouldn't believe it. Amen. It's just not in them to believe. But that same, see, this is what I love about. That same energy that goes for the unbeliever is the same type of energy that you have for the believer. I don't care if I never see another miracle. I don't care if anybody else gets healed. I don't care if nobody else raises from the dead. I don't care if anybody else gets the benefit of sight. All I know is that God is still real. He's still here, and the rapture is our next step. If I never get another healing, if I never get anything else, I know God is still real. I don't need one more thing to happen for me to know that God's taking care of me. That's the same kind of vision that this believer has. And just like it is for the unbeliever, no matter what God would do, they won't believe him. And me, he don't have to do one more thing. I'll still believe him. I'll still serve him. Matter of fact, Job even said it. The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh. But blessed be the name of the Lord. That's how I am, no matter what's going on in my life. The Lord can give and the Lord can take, but blessed be the name of the Lord. All I have is good news to share. That's all I have is good news to share. If you don't want to stay in your sour face, all I have is good news. Oh, the brother Sparks, he said something. He got me turned on. It was a funny joke. That's why I said Brother Kobe was going to love him. He got up. First thing he did, he said, you know, Pastor Moore, you look familiar. I said, I can't place you. I'm trying to think about where I've seen you. And he was going through it, and I was thinking, in my head, I'm like, I've never seen this guy either, so I don't know how he could have. You know, I'm just going back 30 years. I'm like, I don't know how y'all would have met, you know, and I'm just trying to do my own thing. And he's like, oh, I know when it was. When the sons and daughters were shouting for glory, singing to that morning star. That's where I saw you. He referenced Job over there. When God said, Job, where were you? When the sons and daughters were singing. He said, that's where I recognize you from. So when a brother has that kind of spirit, oh, I want a fellowship with that kind of brother. When you recognize from me before, oh, I know you know what you're talking about. When you recognize me before God was God, oh, I know you know what you're talking about. Because the scripture says that no man can go to heaven unless he came from heaven, even the Son of Man himself. That's this group. That's the news we're sharing, is that we're headed back to heaven. Amen. Oh, see, church world don't like that. Because that means I've come from God. That means I'm God's own. That means I'm his son and daughter of God. Of course I walk with a little bit of an air, because I know who I am. I'm not walking around like a bastard son that doesn't know who their father is. I know who I am. I know where I come from. I know what belongs to me. Oh, I'm heir to a lot of things. Oh, let's go read a quote here. I won't keep you guys too much longer. Let's read a quote. Now, the brothers were in the hotel room when I got these notes. And I told them, and God vindicated it. I said, there's a lot of stuff here. There's 15 pages of notes. Pastor Moore got the 3 pages, and I got 1 sentence. So I'm going to give you that one. But I'm glad to be here. So this is over in Galatians chapter 4. This is Brother Branham talking about the exposition of the 7 church ages. He says, God places his son. He says, now comes our triumphant capstone on the baptism with the Holy Ghost. Galatians 4, 4 through 7. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law to redeem them that were under the law. We were under the law now. We're not anymore. That we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. There it is, Brother Ram says. Jesus Christ came forth, died upon the cross, and accomplished redemption, restoring to the original owner by means of purchase or paying the price. Jesus paid it all, and thereby placed us as sons. He did not make us sons, for we were already sons. We woke up to that fact, that we're already his sons, but he placed us as the sons. For as long as we were in the world, in the flesh, we could not be recognized as his sons. We were held captive by the devil, but we were sons nonetheless, no matter what we were going through. And hear this, and because ye are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, whereby you cry, Abba, Father. Upon him do the spirit fall at Pentecost, sons, or at Corinth, upon sons while they heard the word. Amen. Praise God, we're sons. Amen. We're heir. Right. That means we're entitled to some things. Right. Jesus did pay it all. Yeah. That's what we're sharing, right. That the price has been paid. Yes. See, the church world will have you thinking you still got some pittance to pay. Matter of fact, the Catholics have it where you got to go into purgatory and you got to pay a little bit. They got a waiting room for heaven. Just like man. They even put, you know, Pastor Moore even quoted the story of the monkeys talking about how they put a fence around a tree. Said, man didn't come from us. I thought, man is so bad they put a fence around heaven. They got a fence around heaven. They got a waiting room for heaven. You got to pay to get in. Money. How stupid does that sound? The reason why I say it sounds stupid, because it is stupid. But let's put some precedent on it. You're telling me that we're going to go to heaven where the streets are lined with gold. And God wants your dollar that's not backed by anything. Paper. Paper. It won't even transfer to the afterlife. You ever see old money? It starts to deteriorate. Just the elements alone will make it go away. Now, a gold bar will be a gold bar for a little while. But cash? Come on now. It even says it on there. It's just, it's a form of debt. And that's what they pay to get out of this fenced-in lobby around heaven. And you think about it, it's like, and I don't even want to harp on it too much, but I'm just like, how does that even make sense? Who's even collecting the money? Right? Like, who's stepping in the intercessory? Is the Pope? He has to be. He's turning the cash into heavenly dollars. He's collecting it. You know how silly that is? I mean, I like to say it like this. It's not the people. It's the people bringing that message. They know they're doing something wrong. And that's what they're going to pay for that. Because there's still foolish versions out there. There's some people that will believe God when they get the chance. But I think about that. It's like when we play Monopoly. My kids were little. Start carrying around Monopoly money. How foolish they'd be. They'd be like, Dad, I got $1,500. Like, really? Yeah. It's the green and gold and blue. We go to the store. They bring out their Monopoly money. Like, that ain't no good here, bub. That's play money. That has no value. That won't work. That's not what you're judged off of. That's how silly it is to think that you're going to pull out a green $50 bill, a green $100 bill at heaven and be like, hey, this should take care of me and mine. That money ain't no good here. You know what they do there? They do the word test. Amen. What'd you do with the word? Amen. When the word came across your path, what'd you do with it? That's the test. Amen. That's the price that we all pay. That's what's even going to happen over there when we talk about the judgment. The judgment is, what did you do with the word? What did you do when the word crossed your path? What did you do when the word came across your path in any form? Whether it came across in preaching, what did you do with the word? When it came across as a person, what did you do with the word? And he says, when you did this unto the least of these, when you gave me a cup of water, that's what you did with the word. You took care of it. Amen. You move over to the right. When the word came across your path and you didn't do anything with it, you go over to the left. Right. You rejected the word. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. But Lord, we cast out devils in your name. Lord, we did this. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Because the word's got to be in here to receive what's coming on.
Amen.
That's why we can even say those foolish verses. They got a piece of the word on them. Because to be eternal, you have to always be eternal. You don't just get eternity. You have to always have it. And when they get there, that's when it goes into the manifestation. But praise God that we got that understanding now. We got the good news now. When they get over there, that's when they're going to get their good news. But right now, we know all things now. I praise God for this understanding. I praise God for what we get. I praise God that when we look up here, that's not going around in hieroglyphics in some unknown tongue. I know who Paul was. I know what he did. And I praise God that I'm not waiting for some other step. I'm not waiting to step into justification. I'm not waiting to step into sanctification. I'm waiting to step out of here. That's what I'm waiting for. Oh, my. God has been too good to this group. He's been just too good to this group. We know too much, Brother Don. We know way too much. I was going to read that scripture over there, but I'll just quote it here real quick. It's John 3:13. It says, no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. That's our good news.
Amen.
We're going to heaven.
Amen.
We're getting out of here.
Right.
That's the gospel that we tell everybody. They go, well, I got to clean this up. No. I promise you, the rapture will take care of it all.
Amen.
They'll take care of it. Oh, I got this problem. Don't worry about it. The rapture will take care of it. But I need to be cleaned up for service. The rapture will get you cleaned up.
Oh, yeah.
I promise you, it'll take care of any. Oh, but my mind, I got these mind issues. The rapture will take care of that. Oh, I got this house issue. The rapture will take care of that. Oh, I got depression. The rapture will take care of that. Oh, my job. The rapture will take care of that. Matter of fact, when this thing starts hitting you just right, you won't think about anything else.
Right.
You'll step into eternity and you'll say, I don't care. Matter of fact, Brother Branham, see, this is too much. It's too much. We got too much word. Brother Branham, the prophet of the hour, the one that God was talking to all the time, when he got one little glimpse. Now, this is a man that had lost his family, got his family back. He went through a lot and he loved his family. Love them beyond. He got a glimpse of heaven. A glimpse. He was there for a couple of seconds. Looked back at his life and was like, keep it. I don't want to go back. God's like, no, Branham, you got to get back. Oh, come on now, man. You got some more work to do. We got some people that are going to be picking this up. You got to finish your job. I just wanted you to see what it was like. You're describing it wrong. We're not floating around over here. I want you to see, but you got to get back in that body and do your job. Brother Branham's like, no. I don't care about that body. That body gets old. That body has aches. That body has pain. That body has to cry. That body does this. Brother Branham felt the difference. He was like, I don't want to go back. He wasn't worried about, oh, my ministry's got to grow to so much. Oh, I got to reveal all this. Brother Branham, who had lots of answers, saw what it was like over there and was like, I don't want to go back. Even more recent example, Sister Sandy. She'd say, oh, if I pass away, Brother Childers, I'm going to come back and tell you about it. Brother Childers said, Sandy, I'm sorry. I'd love to see you. I'd love for you to come back, but it ain't going to happen. You won't even remember any of this. You're going to get over there. You ain't going to be worried about coming back and telling me anything. You're like, he'll catch up when he gets here. I'll talk to him when he gets here. I don't care if I got to be on the right side, left side, front side, or back side. When he gets over here, we'll talk about it. She wasn't worried about any of that when she got over there. Matter of fact, he even said some of the brothers that disagreed with him. He said, they got it all right now.
Amen.
When you get over there, you get it all right now.
Amen.
Oh, I don't understand all the books. Oh, you don't worry about it. You get it all right now. Oh, I don't understand how they can do the timeline. How do they got Joseph here? 70 weeks of Daniel there. This, that. Don't worry about it. Rapture, take care of that. Matter of fact, it says when we get over there, we'll be ever learning.
Right.
We'll keep going in this thing.
Right.
We got a lot to learn.
Amen.
Right now, you just worry about 66 books of the Bible. We got more stuff to talk about.
Amen.
I want to talk about before God was God. Let's talk about that. Let me talk about how you got me here. Let me talk about that. Because you know what? Here's the other thing. This is why I love this. Even Brother Branham said, if you could live in any age.
Right.
Any age. When it went in, as it was coming out, Reformation, all, if you could live in any age, name it. Which one would you want to live in? He didn't say the ragtag age. He didn't say the group of misfits age. He said that golden age, Brother Chris. Didn't he? He said that golden age. If I could live in any age, it'd be that golden age. That group of people that knows what it is, that can eat the whole loaf. He's not bringing me a piece of bread. He's saying, eat what you will. Take it all. Oh, my, my, my. See, I praise God that we live in this golden age. Because they said that when we get over there, they're going to say, how did you make it through? How did you make it when 200 million demons were loosed? Now, this might even be bragging. I throw my shoulders back and say, because I was built for it. There was a spirit on the age that when the storms came, I didn't run from them. I went into them and went a little bit higher. There was a spirit on the age that I didn't come out drinking milk, hoping that I could make it and needed a little bit of time to get on my feet. I came out eating meat day one. I didn't need 3 weeks to figure this out. I didn't need 4 years to study it up. I came in day one, first service, stepped in on my own two feet, said, this is right. I'll never go anywhere else. That's a little bit different. So when they say, how did you make it? The same spirit in the age that took you through yours. God put a spirit on this age that take me through mine. He gave me something to combat. He raised up a standard, Brother Seth, that took care of me when he knew it was going to be the worst. He said, let me make sure they can fly above this. When it's going to be the darkest, let me make sure they got the best eyesight they could ever have. When it's going to be the most confusing, let me take care of that battle in the mind. Amen. When it's going to be so neurotic, let me give them some good common sense. Amen. When the world is going to be lost, let me let them know that they've been found before the foundation of the world. Amen. That's what he took care of us for. That's the good news that we share. So when we go share this news, there's nothing negative about it. I don't have a bad dry bone in my body about this word. I'm ready for this thing. I'm ready to go. Amen. And I pray we leave tonight. But if I'm here Sunday, guess what? I'm going to say, I pray we leave tonight. Amen. That ain't going to change my message. I got a revelation on this thing. Amen. There's not one more thing left to come to be fulfilled for us to get out of here. Amen. I'm not waiting for the church to get right to go home. You're right enough for me to get out of here. And whatever you're short of, the rapture will take care of it. Amen. See, the church won't have you singing that get right church and let's go home. No, I don't need you to get right. You're right enough. You got an understanding of this thing? Let's go. Let's just go home. Don't get right nothing. Let's just go home. You'll never be right enough. You won't. Two-thirds of your body is going to be wrong all the way through, which is why we got to change it. So let's just drop it and get out of here anyway. I don't want to take another shower. Let me get out of here tonight. That's how we believe this thing. That's how we stand on this thing as strong believers. So the church world looks at us and says, how can they talk so bold? Because I've been taught right. I went through some good doggone training. I went through some things where God was constantly giving us some resistance. He was constantly saying, you ain't got it. You ain't got it. And every time I was saying, yes, I do. I believe this thing. I know what I know. And the devil would say, oh, maybe you need to do this. And the preacher would come and preach. And you'd hear it get hotter and hotter. And you go, but that ain't nothing but the truth. And then people around you, because sometimes Satan likes to inject a little poison. People around you say, well, you should live a little better. You're probably right, I should. But I still believe it. And they go, well, you, if the rapture ain't happened yet, you know, they said the year of Jubilee was here, should be here, blah, blah, blah. You know, really, 2014 probably should have been it. We should have got out of here. I don't care if it's 2044. I still believe the word. Amen. Oh, you got to wait for this. Brother Branham said, I don't see one more scripture left to fulfill. Matter of fact, Brother Branham also said that once that little group knows what it is. Right, right. And even Pastor quoted this, said, then the rapture can go. Amen. Not come down. I'm not waiting for it to get here. No. Then the rapture can go. Amen. That means it's building up now. Amen. That means it's in place now. Amen. It's ready to go now. See, I love the fact that God builds. Because see, the whole church world want God to be poof. Just instantaneous. Like, there's a tree. And then now there's, no. It goes from a seed form. That's right. That way that foundation is built up. I want the foundation to be, I want my roots to be solid. Right. Don't just plant me in a hothouse plant and set me here. No. I want some roots in this thing. Right. I want to be able to look back 40 years and be like, I've been right for 40 years. Amen. Oh, I didn't just figure this out. No. I'm steady. I know what it is. There's people that are just figuring out what's going on. Right. Praise God that they're figuring it out.
But I've been right for a long time. I'm not shaken by anything. And I praise God when people get a revelation. Why? That lets me know we're ready to get out of here. The more people that get it, the more I'm like, praise God, praise God, praise. That's another person pulling this rope for me to get out of here. Because you know what? What Pastor Moore even said, he said, when he came, he brought his reward with him. The dead in Christ are here now. They're here now. And you know what? They're hearing our voices now. And they're pulling too. They're like, come on. I can't be perfect without you. And I'm saying, come on. I can't be perfect without you. And I used to think it was a tug of war, like we're both pulling this way, pulling this way. No, 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 no. We're pulling to get out of here, both of us together. Amen. We're all trying to get out of here. They're saying, I want the rest of my body. And I'm saying, I want the rest of my body too. Amen. They're saying, I want to get to that marriage supper. And I'm saying, I want to get to the marriage supper too. Amen. We're going in the same direction on this thing. Because in my head, I thought, oh, they're pulling me to go there. And I'm pulling there. No, no, no. I don't want to stay here. No. This world ain't my home. Amen. I'm just passing through. I praise God for an understanding. I praise God for a revelation. I praise God that we're compassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses. There's a group of people in this hour that knows what it is. We're not shaken by every wind and doctrine, because there was a time where you knew in part. There was a time where you even prophesied in part. Oh, but now, that which is in part has been done away with. We used to speak as servants, but now we know we're a son of the King. We see the whole thing. I'm not looking through the glass darkly now. Oh, this is a clear picture. Face to face, the veil is no longer there. There's no longer anything between me and God. I see God for myself. Amen. And that to me is a revelation. God bless you. Pastor Moore.
God bless you. Amen. Thank God for the good news. You know, we look at the scripture, and we had the good news for 2,000 years. But we just didn't know how good the news was. We really didn't. We knew it was good news, but we thought, well, the good news is that Jesus came and he died for our sins. Yeah, that is good news. But until the book was opened, we really didn't understand the good news. And since the opening of the seals, the good news includes all that God had in his mind. It includes all that he was, all that he was trying to do, all that he was going to do. Now we look back and see all that he has done. Amen. Talk about good news.
Yeah.
See what he has done for you.
Amen.
Now we can really see now what he's done. We knew he went to Calvary, but in the church world, they know he goes to Calvary, but they don't know why. They don't understand the depths behind it. They don't understand why it was blood. They don't understand. We understand the entire story now. If you thought it was good news when you were in apostolic, now that you come to the message of the hour, to come to the word, a real understanding, oh, it is good news.
Yeah.
And the good news include that, you know, he not only did that, but he did that 7 ages. That's included in the good news.
Amen.
The good news is that he has come at the end time and he's opened the seals. All this is part of the good news. And the good news is that he's wrapping this thing up. And now we're the people that's on the earth that has an understanding of really what the gospel is.
Amen.
Nobody else understood it like we understand it. And we look at the whole story. Now it's the time to throw wood on that thing.
Yeah.
Throw wood on the fire. Don't let your fire go out in this hour. Don't let Satan condemn you and convict you and convince you that and get you confused. Not in this kinds of times. Throw wood on that fire, because if you know what? If you don't put wood on the fire, it's going to go out. It will go out. I've seen the best of us go out. I've seen preachers go out. I've seen songwriters go out. But now you got to throw, what do you mean by putting wood on it? Feed it. Feed it the word. Put the word in your life. Put it first. Look at what God's done. Look at that. If you've never seen God heal anybody in your whole life, what you saw tonight should have proved to you that God's real.
Amen.
But that's just one case. I wasn't supposed to have kids. Miracle after miracle after miracle. We've seen cancer healed. We've seen... But those are just minor things. The greatest thing that happened tonight was the word to come forth.
Amen.
preaching on the gospel, talking about what the true gospel is and what God is doing for us. That's what's real. Thank God that he healed Elise. But that's just minor. We expect that. But the real deal was when the word was opened up. And when the word opens up, the real beauty of it is that you sit here and you hear the word and you say, that is nothing but the truth. Now, that's more important than any healing of the body. It's more important than any signs and wonders. That you can agree with the word and say, I don't know if I agreed with the word. What? You got to agree with the word. And to agree with the word is to hear the word and say it's the truth. It's as simple as that. You don't have to be like a firecracker and pop up and do something. No, it's just the truth. You know, when the word comes forth, I say, amen. That's how easy it is, how simple it is. And it's funny because I don't care what you're struggling with. When you get this body change, it's going to go away. That body change is going to take care of everything. Your shortcomings, your temper, your makeup, your problems, your issues, your own, name it. All of that stuff is just temporary. And it'll all go away with the body change. If you got a smoking habit and you just can't kick it, and you kick it, and your heart desires to kick it, and you try your best to do it, and you still fight that devil, and you fight it and fight it and fight it, and you never get rid of it, do you know one day you will?
Right. Amen.
Fight all you want. One of these days, you will. It'll be either here or there. Because I don't think you're going to be over there having a shake because you can't get a cigarette. Not in a glorified body.
No.
That glorified body is going to take care of all of your shortcomings. But all you got to do is agree with the word here. If you don't agree with the word here, it just shows you don't have nothing there. But if you agree with the word here, it'll take care of everything you need. And all you got to do is keep feeding it. Keep feeding it. You'll get stronger with everything. Look at David. David got stronger with every time God moved in his life. He got stronger. He took care of me when I fought the lion. He took care of me when I fought the bear. He'll take care of me when I get hold of the Goliath too. And he's handled your lions. And he's handled your bears in your life. And this Goliath that you think is so big that you can't overcome, same God that got you this far, same one that'll take you all the way through. Come on, musicians. Jay, I enjoyed that. Thank you. Thank you all who had a chance to go to the meetings this last weekend. It's good to be able to go and share. And if you didn't get to go, you know, there may be another trip coming up sometime. I know Brother Fred has given me the information for the meeting that he's having in October. So we're going to make some plans as well for that. So keep that in mind. And I appreciate the sacrifice of the brothers driving. Amen. And I appreciate Kentucky. You know, the thing about it, your light shines. Now, I was told it's been almost 6 years. Huh? It's 5 years since we've been down there? I was told it's, 5 years. Now, we went back to the same hotel. Actually, she was mad at me because we hadn't been there. We don't preach to them. You know, I feel like Brother Branham did when he went to the restaurant, Blue Boar. And the people at his congregation would go there, and they were so impressed with the people that Brother Branham had that represented his church. Well, when we went down to Kentucky, they're not even Christians. They're Hindu, I guess. I don't know, but I would assume. But they were so glad to see us that here's what they did. They said, now you're going to go to services. When you come back, while you're there, they're going to deliver the pizzas. We're going to tip the people for you. And you can give it back to us later, but we'll take care of the tip. And then when we got back, come to find out, they had gotten coolers and drinks, and they did all this. All you got to do is give me a glass of water. But they so wanted to take care of us. And I sure appreciate that. God's going to bless them. He already has blessed them, but he'll continue to bless them. But those are the testimonies that you leave behind you in your wake, that you run across people who have met God and did something to help God in his journey. They're helping us minister. When we go down there, they take care of us while we do the work at the ministry. So I appreciate that. I appreciate all of you taking the time to come down. And it was a good trip. We enjoyed it. Met some brothers. One brother, I've been texting him today. He actually has a church. Brother Hart has a church in Atlanta. And so when I go to visit my family, might as well stop in. So, you know, we met some brothers, and they're all wanting to continue getting together. They gave me their cards, and so we'll be communicating with them. And you never know what the Lord has in mind. But those are some good brothers, and I appreciate the word that came forth this weekend. You know, sometimes you go places, and you have to pick through the bones and just eat the meat and throw the bones out. But this is all meat this weekend. It was all good, and so I appreciate that. And it was well worth the time and the sacrifice in going. So I appreciate that. So come back Sunday, expecting God to do something else, and keep all those announcements in mind. John, prayer cloth. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And you pray for Beth, too. She's going through some stuff, and God knows what her needs are, and she wants to do the right thing. She has her battles. She has her own personal fights with herself. She never told me, but I know. So pray for Beth, too, because she wants to do the right. She really wants to be right. She is a godly woman. And she... So you pray for her, because she goes through things, and she doesn't say, but she does. She doesn't say much. So let's pray for this so you could take this, and we're going to pray for you too, and we want you to pray here with us together. Heavenly Father, we come before you this evening. Lord, our sister's come, and she's standing in a gap for someone who needs this cloth. Their faith may not be strong, but Lord, hers is, and she knows that this cloth is an example of the faith that's been sent forth for the healing of the body. And Father, we ask you to just anoint it and just let it go forth and do that she has asked for. And Lord, I pray for Beth. Lord, she's got a load on her, and she's trying to do the right thing. And Lord, just help us to be here, to be an example to her, to make the route a little easier for her, so that she could be able to do what's ordained of her. Thank you for her family. Ask you to just be with them, Father. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you, John. Oh, magnify the Lord, key of D, for he is worthy to be praised. Amen. Come back expecting. Oh, magnify the Lord, for he is worthy to be praised. Oh, magnify the Lord. Hosanna! Hosanna! Oh, blessed be the rock. Yes, blessed be the rock of my salvation.
Hosanna. Oh, blessed be the rock, and may the God of my salvation be exalted. Yes, oh, magnify the Lord. I will magnify my Lord. My God is worthy to be praised.
You're dismissed.
Hosanna.